Brad Crandall here as Monitor continues to keep your weekend bright and lively with Monitor Music. Mantovani's orchestra, Lee Arrives. Sunday, October 6th. I'm Brad Crandall. Do women usually vote in national elections the way their men do? Might their vote make the difference between victory or defeat for a presidential candidate? And what are their indicated preferences in this coming election? The answers in just a few moments from nationally famous poll taker Dr. George Gallup. Monitor Music first. And Tom Jones.
Love is like candy on a shelf. You want to taste and help yourself. The sweetest things are there for you. Help yourself, take a few. That's what I want you to do. We're always told repeatedly, the very best in life is free. And if you want to prove it's true, baby, I'm telling you, this is what you should do. Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms, just say the word and they are yours. Just help yourself to the love in my heart, your smile has opened up the door. The greatest wealth that exists in the world can never buy. For two, more than enough for me and you. I'm rich with love, a millionaire. I have so much, it's unfair. Why don't you take a share? Just help yourself to my lips, to my arms. Just say the word and they're yours. Just help yourself.
American Political Scene 68, views and comments on the upcoming presidential election. How important is the woman's vote? For some significant facts and figures, we turn to world-famous poll taker Dr. George Gallup. With him is Rex Marshall.
Dr. Gallup, ever since the ladies got the right to vote back in 1920, there have been discussions as to whether their vote has made any difference in the balance in politics. Don't they usually go along and vote the way their men do?
Well, Rex, we've been compiling the voting record of women for three decades, and a lot of surprising things turn up. Now, often there's not much difference between the way men and women vote, but in some elections, there's a great difference.
Could you give us some examples, Doctor?
Well, let me cite the election of 1952. The majority that Dwight Eisenhower got in that year was accounted for almost entirely by the vote of women. And again, in 1956, women gave President Eisenhower far more votes than men did.
But would their vote ever have made the difference between a candidate winning or losing?
Well, Rex, the evidence is pretty clear that Nixon would have won the 1960 presidential election and not John F. Kennedy if only women had voted. And the reason is not so much that they preferred Nixon personally to Kennedy. They're just naturally more conservative in their political views.
Now, Doctor, is this situation unique to the United States?
Well, it's true to an even greater extent in other countries. Some of the British elections of recent years would have been won by the Labour Party if women had not voted for conservative candidates. And in France and Italy, women consistently give a much smaller vote to communist candidates than do men.
Well, Doctor, getting back to our present campaign here, what differences do your surveys show in the appeal of the leading candidates in this race?
Well, at the present time, we're finding the greatest difference we have ever recorded. George Wallace is currently winning 25% of the vote of men, but because they consider him an extremist, he attracts only 16% of the vote of women. Now, that's a very substantial difference. Nixon is the top choice of women. Humphrey is their second choice.
Personal question at this point, if you don't mind, Doctor. Do you approve of ladies having the vote?
Yes, and they're a powerful influence for good, especially in local politics. In fact, the evidence indicates that women will dominate the local political scene in the not-too-distant future. Everywhere in the nation, they're throwing the rascals out of City Hall. God bless them.
Thank you, Dr. Gallup. We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. This is Rex Marshall for Monitor.
From now through election time, keep up with the campaign on American Political Scene 68 on Monitor. The voices of the Vogues and one of their latest. Texas State Fair, which opened yesterday in Dallas, continues through October 20th. The three-week festival of Ozark Craftsmen in Branson, Missouri, starts tomorrow, and Oklahoma Historical Day commemorates its first settlement on Thursday. Wherever you're going, stay on the Monitor Beacon.
Hi, this is Charlie Brown. Are you looking for work? Well, meet your competition, high school graduates. They make up 7 out of 10 people applying for jobs. Now, just imagine you were an employer. Who would you hire? Someone who quit school or one of them? The moral? If you're in school, stay there. If you've quit, go now to your state employment service or youth opportunity center. Find out how to get more training. You'll need it. Remember the competition you're up against.
What's a good time? 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's a good time, and you'll have one when you join me, Big Wilson, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. right here on WNBC Radio 66, New York. Be here.
WNBC Radio 66, New York.
Brad Crandall and Monitor, back again at exactly 18 minutes after the hour. The next voice you hear will be that of Miss Petula Clark.
Mon ancêtre Mortimer Peabody, qui a fait 100 ans de guerre du côté anglais, est un fantôme féroce qui ne me pardonne pas. Choisi pour mes noces un mari François, et Mortimer toutes les nuits en colère me crie. Que fais-tu là? Mon ancêtre Mortimer Peabody, a perdu une autre guerre contre les Français. Il s'est si bien habitué au ciel de Paris qu'il ne peut plus le quitter, même pour une nuit. Quand je vais à
Olympic preview now. Buildings number 25, 26, and 27 are off bounds for all males in the Olympic Village. Those are the women's quarters, and they're protected like Fort Knox. There's a 10-foot wire fence in front and a 20-foot steel wall in the rear. Guarding the double front gate are Mexican Army nurses, 68 of them, who are said to be cold-eyed, firm, and, sadly enough, alert. You know, Olympic sprinters often reach a speed of over 20 miles an hour, and that can sure dry out lips in a hurry. No wonder Chapstick Lip Balm was selected for use by members of the U.S. Olympic team. It moisturizes and protects their lips from sun and wind. Chapstick smooths and helps heal lips that are already chapped, too. Of course, most of us can't run around the block at 20 miles an hour, but if Chapstick works for an Olympic sprinter, it certainly ought to work for you. Chapstick Lip Balm. Don't take your lips anywhere without it. Enoch Light and Mrs. Robinson. This is Monitor. Brad Crandall here.
The following is a political program sponsored by the Nixon-Agnew Campaign Committee. Recently, Richard Nixon participated in a live and unrehearsed question and answer program before a panel of Chicago citizens. The following is a brief excerpt.
Mr. Nixon, in 1964, Milton Friedman, advising Barry Goldwater, came out in favor of income maintenance, negative income tax, or a family allowance. Do you see this as an effective alternative to these welfare programs that you've been so critical of that are part of the Great Society currently?
No, I don't. Basically, the reason I don't think the negative income tax or income tax would work, in other words, what we're talking about is a guaranteed income, whether a person works or not, is because of my evaluation of the nature of man. And here's where we can get into a great philosophical discussion. The question is whether people, when they have no incentive to work, will work. And I believe that our experience tells us that that is not the case. I believe that you have to leave a real incentive in there. But I think that in this country of ours, that once you tell great numbers, the whole mass of the people, that they're going to get an income whether they work or not, you are going to perpetuate a feeling of dependence which otherwise could be changed. I think what we have to do is to move it the other way around. I think we have to open new vistas of opportunity for people that are living on welfare. We've got to make welfare something to escape from rather than something to escape to. And I believe that, but I don't believe government should help those who are able to work. Let's give them something to do.
Connection, Mr. Nixon, would you make some comments about what you think the priorities of spending and level of spending, surtaxes, etc., would be in under your administration if you're successful, if there's an end to the Vietnam War?
And I believe that, what we're talking about here, Mr. Lieberman, I think it's the fashionable term is the peace dividend. What do we do with it? I have several ideas. First, I think that I do not agree with Mr. Humphrey that the surtax should remain. I think that once the war has ended, that we should get rid of the surtax. It is a war tax, and it should be ended, because I think the tax level in this country, rather than going up, should be reduced. So I begin with that. Use the peace dividend for another project that I think is vitally important to the whole future of America. And that is in terms of what we're going to do about our armed services. I think that once Vietnam is over, we should move to a volunteer armed services rather than the draft. And then the third area that you move into, we've got to move. There's a lot of unfinished business there. The unfinished business in terms of not only the housing, education, and the rest. But in this particular area, where I would put the primary, part of the dividend is in education, in the very broadest sense. Education in the sense of preparing people to run businesses, when they are in simply the broadest sense, so that people can learn the responsibilities of citizenship and make a greater contribution to the nation. These are just some of the areas in which I would move.
You've been listening to Richard Nixon in an excerpt from a recent question and answer program. If you believe Richard Nixon should be our next president, please help by contributing to his campaign. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. We need your help. We need it now. Send your contribution to Nixon, Box 2200, Washington, D.C. This time, give like your whole world depended on it. The preceding pre-recorded political program was sponsored by the Nixon Agnew Campaign Committee.
This is Jay Barbary, NBC News, Cape Kennedy. From liftoff to recovery, follow the flight of Apollo 7 here on NBC Radio.
This is Jack Hayes. Why do 600,000 volunteers contribute their time and their dollars to help 202 United Fund and Community Chest campaigns in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut? For several reasons. Most often, they say, because it's good to feel needed. While they're giving their time, they ask you to help only with your dollars. Please pledge your fair share. The United Way.
Happens on WNBC, Radio 66 New York, weekdays from noon to 3. The Jim Gerhardt Show. And this is Gerhardt reminding you, I'm doing my thing at a new time, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, on WNBC, Radio 66.
Come on, mouth soft, it's to me, sing me a song. Let's keep the music grooving. We're going strong. Come on,
where we make the weekend more interesting at home or on the road. Brad Crandall, your host. The city of Jacksonville has made sweeping, dramatic changes in both its geography and its city government. Hear all about this bold new city of the South in just a few minutes. The sound of monitor music and Jack Jones.
On my word, there will never be anyone but you, child. On my word, no one else will ever do but you. On my word, I will never stray from your side, and someday you're gonna be my bride. On my word. They say I'm the cheating kind. They say looking close you'll find someone new, someone new deep in my heart. But don't believe them, 'cause I know that deep inside they love you too, honey. On my word, there will never be anyone but your child. On my word, no one else will ever do. Oh,
effective Tuesday of last week when the city streamlined its government and annexed huge Duval County adjacent to the former city line. Mayor Hans Tansler explains why Jacksonville has become the bold new city of the South as he chats with Monitor reporter Frank Blair.
Mayor Tansler, what does this mean to the citizens of the area, the now, as you call it, the bold new city?
Well, certainly the first thing that comes to mind is that which we really sold it on in the first place. We eliminated two duplicitous layers of government and unnecessary duplication of effort in every direction.
What about taxes?
And streamlined it. And
taxes?
We have actually reduced our taxes in the process, and I believe in a reduced price as far as tax dollars are concerned, and still have a more responsive form of government. The old buck passing that is all too familiar to so many of us, well, I think by and large be eliminated, because this is a strong mayor position that I currently hold, and two-edged sword, so to speak. They will be able to look directly to me to for any abuses or omissions or commissions that may be occur while I am in office.
What are the advantages to this?
Well, obviously, by this particular move, we like to think that it is a move that most of the major metropolitan areas of the United States, as the population explosion problems that face the greater urban areas all over the United States, will have to eventually turn to and at least consider, because...
Was the city of Jacksonville in serious trouble financially and with a loss of population before this move took place?
Yes, it was, Frank. It was not too unlike many cities. Our core city, the population was actually declining, while those that really supported it, the upper economical and social levels, existed on the fringe areas of the city of Jacksonville and paid no tax except business tax, license taxes within that core city. And yet the core city was constantly required to continue to furnish the services of any major city would have to furnish. And it was slowly dying. It had to expand. It was not only in trouble in that direction, but we had our inordinate share of scandals, abuses by political office holders, some indicted public officials, and things of this nature that we're not proud of.
You do not feel, as mayor of Jacksonville, that you are first in this movement. Weren't there other cities?
Tampa attempted it and really failed by referendum. Nashville, Tennessee, Davidson County, Tennessee, and we like to think we improved it in several ways.
Thank you, Mayor Tansler. This is Frank Blair reporting for Monitor.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that have dried upon some lines. That keeps you on the back road by the rivers of my memory, to keep you ever gentle on my mind.
It's not clinging to the rocks and ivy planted on their columns now that binds me, or something that somebody said because they thought we'd fit together walking. Just knowing that the world will not be cursing or forgiving when I walk along some railroad track and find that you're moving on back road by the rivers of my memory, and for hours you're just too alone in my mind.
Though the wheat fields and the clotheslines and the junkyards and the highways come between us, mother woman crying to her mother cause she turned and I was gone, I still might run in silence, tears of joy might stain my face, and a summer sun might burn me till I'm blind, but not to where I cannot see you walking on the back road by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind.
Shutters creak and all the winds that make me draw inside myself in silence. Cross-legged now I sit and watch the endless chase leaves cross my yard. darling that was in my window seat and fine. Let you moving on back roads by the rivers of my memory, every smile and every gentle on my mind.
Through cupped hands round the tin can, I pretend to hold you to my breast and find that you're waving from the back roads by the rivers of my memory, ever smiling, ever gentle on my mind.
Glen Campbell, Bobby Gentry, and a very gentle song. For all of today's scores and stories in sports, plus a look at the week ahead, stay with us. Mel Allen reports on the Monitor Beacon. You're with Monitor once again, and the time is now 13 minutes before the hour. At the Monitor Sports Desk, Mel Allen.
Thank you very much, Brad. Well, St. Louis can win the World Series tomorrow. Paced by Bob Gibson and Lou Brock, the Cards took a commanding 3-1 game lead today by defeating the Tigers 10-1 before a rain-dampened series crowd in Detroit that included Vice President Hubert Humphrey. The contest, which was delayed by rain for 37 minutes at the start and then 74 minutes in the third inning, produced a number of series records. Bob Gibson became the only pitcher to win seven straight games and to pitch seven straight complete games. Seven is also a career victory high for a National League pitcher. Gibson struck out 10 men today, and he's now the only series pitcher to get 10 or more in five different games. As for Lou Brock, he stole just about everything around there today. He stole one base anyway, and he has seven in this series, tying the record he set last season. He also has a series career total of 14, tying the record set by the great Eddie Collins. Both Gibson and Brock also displayed some fancy batting today. Gibson hit a home run. So did Brock, who also tripled and hit a three-run double. Brock so far is 8 for 16, or batting .500. Last year he batted .414 in the series. I guess, Brad, he's what you would call a great World Series player. The lone Tiger run came on a home run by Jim Northrup in the fourth. Loser Denny McClain gave up six hits and four runs before he left early in the game in the third inning. Game five tomorrow will match Nelson Bryles of the Cards against the Tigers' Mickey Lolich. All the action exclusively on NBC. And by the way, only three teams have recovered from being behind 3-1 in a World Series to go on and win it. The last was the 1958 Yankees against Milwaukee. I'll return later in a few minutes, as a matter of fact, with the pro football scores and a look at the week ahead. This is Mel Allen for Monitor Sports.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman, giving all your love to just one man. You'll have bad times, and he'll have good times, doing things that you don't understand. But if you love him, you forgive him, even though he's hard to understand. And if you love him, oh, after all, he's just a man. Stand by your man. Give him 2 arms to play. come to when nights are cold and lonely. Stand by your man and tell the world you love him. Keep giving all the love you can.
Page, and that's one of her latest. Now, once again at the Monitor Sports Desk, Mel Allen.
Thank you again, Brad. Now the pro football scores in the NFL. Minnesota 24, Detroit 10. Dallas beat St. Louis 27-10. Baltimore 28, Chicago 7. The New York Giants 38, New Orleans Saints 21. Green Bay finally won a game after losing a couple in a row. They beat Atlanta 38-7, ruining Norman Van Brocklin's debut as Falcon coach. Washington 17, Philadelphia 14. The Los Angeles Rams 24, 49ers 10. In the AFL, Miami 24, Houston 7, Oakland 41, Boston 10, Denver 10, Cincinnati 7. In auto racing, Scotland's Jackie Stewart drove a Metro Ford to victory in the United States Grand Prix at Watkins Glen, New York, averaging better than 124 miles per hour and setting a course record. Only 8 of 19 starters finished the race. Looking ahead tomorrow, Game 5 of the World Series in Detroit. All the action exclusively on NBC Radio and Television. Wednesday, the Men's World Amateur Team Golf Championship in Melbourne, Australia. The Miami to Nassau Power Boat Race. Thursday, the Piccadilly World Match Play Golf Championship at Wentworth, England. Friday, the start of the National Hockey League season. Saturday, the opening of the 19th Summer Olympics in Mexico City and the $125,000 added champagne stakes at Belmont Park. That's what is and will be in sports, Brad. Mel Allen here, friends. For more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor.
Thank you, Mel.
To wait for love, it is just to waste.
Herb Alpert's latest, To Wait for Love. You know, politics just isn't what it used to be. To illustrate the point, NBC News' Second Sunday series takes a look at the new look in politics. This special program next Sunday evening reviews the effects of hippies, yippies, and others on the current political scene. NBC correspondent Robert McCormick will be anchorman. Don't miss Second Sunday, next Sunday evening on NBC Radio. Marimba band playing in a Veracruz vein. To stay informed, just stay tuned. NBC Monitor News on the Hour is next, covering all the latest national and world developments. This is Brad Crandall.
Don't go away, there's more to come. More to interest everyone. Just stay tuned, we'll be back soon.
NBC Radio 66, your World Series station, takes you out to the ballgame. This is Frank Musser, and I take you into the ballgame with warm-up time preceding the play, and out of the park with wrap-up time following the game, right here on WNBC Radio 66. So remember, for your complete rundown on what's happening, join me, Frank Musser, on WNBC.
WNBC Radio 66, New York.
The 4-H clubs of Nassau County are conducting a drive, but it's not for funds. The 4-H clubs are having a drive to recruit responsible adults as club leaders and project leaders. Hundreds of boys and girls are waiting to join the 4-H club program in Nassau, waiting for adults to step forward and say, I'll start a club, how do I begin? Call the Nassau County 4-H office in Mineola, 742-9516.